Uh-oh. Hello? I'll just start. That is strange. One of the things that I did want to say to open up this morning is that in, you know, the book The Lord of the Rings, Bilbo has that ring, and as time goes on, everyone else ages, and Bilbo, because of his ring, always looks the same age. And I was looking around this morning, and a lot of you have golden rings, and I think I know what's going on. You guys look really good. A lot of you are just the same as when I left and we moved away. One person who obviously didn't wear a ring is Alex there, and he did not have a beard 11 years ago when we moved away, which was a good thing, I think. Here we go. My computer didn't like that. All right. So it is good to be back with you. I obviously, my family isn't here. They couldn't make it. I've been saying they have a better speaker at Portal today. And it is a special speaker and it's a special day, so they stayed back for that. I did bring some pictures here. These are the three girls, and they're getting quite big. And then at the top picture, there's Alex on his birthday in January. Yeah, that was his choice of cake, covered in candy. And he's laughing, and that's his special gift. He's really good at that. And you may notice in the background, the cabinet there doesn't have a front on it. We just bought a house. It's our first house, and we took all the cabinets off to paint them and things like that. So that was us in our new house there. And on Alex's birthday. And the other picture is me hard at work at school, taking learning very seriously on a special day. I think there's an invented holiday that I've made up. Well, I didn't make it up. Someone else did, but I really like it. It's called Bring Meat for Your Teacher Day. And there's me and one of my favorite students on Bring Meat for Your Teacher Day, and she brought in some steaks, and it was pretty fabulous. We do have a lot of fun. There's a tradition when the Leafs win, another teacher and I, we wear the jersey the next day. It was also some kind of spirit day, so that's why I had the hat and the shades. And but we do also do learning in math and reading, things like that too. We do. We don't have too much fun. Just the right amount. I'd like to read a couple verses, and then my message kind of has two parts. Part one is the Bible's main theme. In John chapter 3, in verse 16, you may know this verse. It's one of the most popular verses of the whole Bible. We'll read verse 16 and verse 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And let's pause and ask for the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would give us a good understanding of what it has to say to us. We pray, Father, this morning that you will speak to us, each one of us this morning. There are no accidents. We are here today for a reason, and you want to communicate with us. And we pray that that would happen this day. And Father, open our ears to hear it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible's main theme. When I am teaching, I teach grade 4, and when I'm teaching them, as they're reading, I say, well, you do want to understand the sentences that you're reading, but you also want to think, well, what's the big idea here in this book? What's the author trying to say? What are the lessons here? And we do that in language, and then we take those same skills and we apply them to the Bible when we study the Bible as well. And there's a pattern that you'll see in a number of stories in the Old Testament. So, I'm always telling my kids that good mathematicians see patterns, and scientists have to do the same. They have to see things that are repeated, and if you take literature, you have to look at the same sort of thing. But a lot of stories in the Old Testament have this kind of basic outline. You have problems caused by sin. So people are doing the wrong things. And lo and behold, difficulties arise. Or judgment from God. Some kind of danger is happening. So you have the sinfulness, and then you have this danger or God's judgment that's coming, and many times there's no real solution to it. I'll give you an example. There's the story of, I'm terrible with names, and I almost, Noah, who built the ark? Who built the ark? Noah. Brother Noah built the ark. And in that time, the whole earth was so wicked, God was going to judge the whole earth. And he was going to flood the entire earth. And that's kind of a big danger, big judgment. And only 8 people survived. And the only reason that those 8 people survived was that God provided something to rescue them. Right? In that story, it was the ark, where the 8 people could go in the ark and they were rescued. Everyone else perished from the face of the earth. In the story of the children of Israel in Egypt, they were there in Egypt, and God didn't give an ark that time. He sent Moses. And through Moses, the nation who couldn't have broken free was able to break free. And God rescued them out of it. He saved them by the hand of Moses. The book of Judges is full of that kind of thing. And then when you get into 1 Samuel, you have the last judge, Samuel, who is the last judge, but there's a problem with his kids, and they're looking for a king. And it kind of goes on and on. There's so many stories that fit into that kind of a structure. And as you look at it, and you say, well, what's going on here? You see a God behind these stories, a God who wants to rescue people, and not just rescue them for the sake of rescuing them. He wants to have a relationship with them. And so you think of the story of Moses when he took them out of Egypt. God wasn't just delivering them from Egypt. He was bringing them out so that they could be his people. He wants to be with people. He loves people, and he wants them to have a relationship with him. And this story gets repeated over and over in the Old Testament, that kind of a theme. Now, when you look and you think about it, though, all the Old Testament saviors fail in some way, right? The salvation that they offer wasn't complete, or it was just a temporary thing. And we'll go back to the story of Moses. Through Moses, God delivered the people out of Egypt. But, man, as soon as they got through the Red Sea, they started sinning right away. And there was the problems came back. And David was a great king. They were looking for someone to lead the nation. And David was a great choice, and he became a wonderful king until that time when he committed adultery and then murder. And it wasn't a lasting thing. And his son Solomon was the king of peace. What a peaceful time it was. But his heart went after things of the world and caused a lot of pain in the nation of Israel. And all of the saviors didn't provide any complete salvation or lasting salvation. They all kind of fell short. And one of the biggest sections in the Old Testament is the law, where God had made this covenant with Israel. The whole world had been in sin, and God chose one nation out of it to be his people. And he gave them the law, he showed them what he was all about, and he said, here, now you know all about me, now you know what to do. If you do these things, you're going to be a special people to me. And so they had the law, but that didn't work. And it wasn't God's fault. In Hebrews, God tells us that the people fell short. They didn't keep up their end of the bargain. And so you have this structure of saviors coming to rescue people, but that salvation isn't complete. And so God says, listen, there's a savior coming. And his salvation is going to be different. It's going to be permanent. It's going to be complete. It will fulfill all your needs. He's coming. And in the Old Testament, there is a lot of prophecy that pointed towards this coming savior. And so we would read verses like this in Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. There's a Savior coming, and his kingdom won't have an end. In Isaiah chapter 53, it talks about someone who comes and even takes the sin of the people upon him. He makes himself an offering for sin. A Savior was coming. And so they had all of these things pointing. And so time went on. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came. He was that promised Messiah. And he showed evidence that that was the case. He proved that he was the one that God had promised to be the Savior. And then at the end of his life, he went to the cross and actually purchased our salvation. Right? The reason for that is because we had sinned and fallen short, and we owed God our lives. We're forfeit because of our sin. And he went to the cross, and because he had no sin, he paid the penalty to redeem us. He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. And so, because he's done that, in him we can find forgiveness. And that's what we read in John chapter 3. And we have this everlasting life. Whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. He came to bring eternal life to us so that we might find forgiveness for our sins. So that was part one. That's kind of the main idea of the scriptures. And it points to the Lord Jesus Christ, the real Savior. Now, part two of my message is kind of some of the promises that Jesus Christ came and he gave when he was here. So you think, well, he's the Savior. What is he saving us from? What is he offering us? And I'd like to talk about four promises that He gives to you and to me here today. I don't want to point you out and embarrass you or anything, but those guys at the back, I'm so glad you're here. I think God brought you here today. You guys remind me so much of me. When I lived in the same building you live in, I went probably different apartments though, and I came here, and I don't know about you, but the first time I was here, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I didn't even know why people were Christians. Like, you know, what's the point? What would you get out of being a Christian? And I didn't know. I had no idea. Here are some of the things. This is why people are Christians. These are the things that Jesus is going to promise. And before I mention them, one of the things that's kind of will be in here is that God is promising us certain things, but He's going to back it up with evidence. And faith and believing in God, some people think believing in God is what you do instead of having evidence, or it's like a fairy tale and you just believe that it's true. But God doesn't think of faith like that. God thinks of faith like this: is faith is when you accept the evidence that He's given, and you start to trust Him. And the people in the Lord Jesus' day, here's an example. He had done so many miracles, you know, they were like, you know, when the Christ comes, the Messiah that we've been waiting for, you know, is the Messiah going to do more signs than these which this man has done? And there's some sarcasm there. Like, this guy's been doing all sorts of stuff. He's like, you expecting more? He's raising people from the dead, feeding thousands of people miraculously. Miracles are happening every day. What are you looking for? This guy has proven that He's the Messiah. And so God really does have evidence for us that makes it rational and logical even to put our faith and trust in Him. So, the first thing that Christ offers us is everlasting life. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. He gives everlasting life. And now, if you're a quick student in my class, whenever I make a mistake, like, I have five people like put up their hands, and then I have four people who don't bother putting up their hands. They're like, Mr. Lee, you did that wrong! And if I was in the audience, I'd be saying, Mr. Lee, you're doing this wrong right now. Because you just told me that you're going to go talk about evidence, and now look at the first thing you mentioned is everlasting life. How do you have evidence that your life is going to last forever? Until you watch it last forever. And none of us have lasted forever to watch and see if this life is going to last forever. If that makes any sense. Right? Maybe some of you are close. I don't know. I'm getting old too. I haven't been old. I'm not that old. All right? He's offering a life that's going to last forever. How would you even know that that could be true? Where would the evidence even be? I'm going to get you to hold that thought, and let's look at the next one. Jesus offers us a life that's going to last forever. He promises that if we put our faith in Him, that we would know God personally. I like to keep up I read the newspaper a lot, and I like to read about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I read about all the prospects that they have coming up. And this William Nylander guy, he's got nice hair and he's got really good skills. And I know who he is, William Nylander, but you know what? I don't really know him. I've read about him. I've seen him play hockey. But I don't really have a relationship with him. We've never met. even. And Jesus is saying to people who have never met God that, listen, I'll introduce you to Him and you'll get to know Him personally. And there's a list of, in Hebrews chapter 8, it's a list of all the promises, or the list of the contract that we have in Jesus Christ. And it says there, none of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. You know, I'm not here to say, you know, you got to get to know the Lord. Because if you know, if you have your faith in Jesus, all shall know me. From the least of them, that's the people who trust in Christ, to the greatest of them. Whoever puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will know God the Father. They'll have a relationship with Him. And if you're familiar with that hymn, Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. Once he had no idea of who God was, but now he sees God and he knows God. And that's the promise. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. And here we have the evidence, part of the evidence of eternal life is eternal life isn't just living forever. It's part of it is knowing God and having a relationship with Him. And you can know today the God of the universe. And you can have a relationship. And you can speak with Him and listen to Him. And He'll speak to you. And He'll be active in your life. And that's not a promise like saying to somebody, hey, if you work hard, maybe you'll get led into heaven someday. Maybe. It's saying to someone, if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be able to know God. You'll know God today. And you'll have the evidence, whether it's true or not. Because you'll have a relationship there. Jesus Christ also promises eternal life. He promises that we would know God. And He promises the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit. God who also sealed us and has given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. In 2 Corinthians, and then again, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. The Bible teaches that whoever puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is going to respond to that by giving His Holy Spirit and putting His Holy Spirit in their hearts. And that Holy Spirit is a wonderful, wonderful gift. That God would come and reside in a person, in you or in me. Live in us through His Spirit. That's an amazing gift. But it says here that it's more than just a gift for us to enjoy. It tells us something. It's a bit of evidence. It's a bit of evidence that that promise of eternal life is real. How can we know that we'll live forever? Well, God is going to give you a commitment, a sign of His commitment, that He's going to put the Holy Spirit in you as a guarantee, as a seal, that you can know for sure that you have eternal life because the Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus Christ promises the forgiveness of sins. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. Hebrews 8:12. The main problem we saw in the Old Testament and in those stories, it was the sinfulness of people, that they kept rebelling against God. They didn't do what God said. And the scriptures come to the conclusion, they lay it out that, you know what, that's all of us. That's all of us every day falling short of God's standard, sinning against a holy God, shaking our fist at Him, saying, no, you can't be in charge. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to have my way instead of you, God. Rebelling against Him, hating Him. That's the whole world. There is none righteous, no, not one, the Scripture says. But Christ has taken our penalty upon Himself. And when we put our faith in Him, we get every single one of our sins, past, present, future, they are completely, 100% forgiven. God forgives us. And we have a relationship with Him. And He gives us eternal life. And He puts His Holy Spirit in us. And when that happens, you know what happens? Our lives change. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Life is difficult. There are so many things in this life which are, they're hard. And it's tough sometimes. It's tough a lot of the times. But Jesus comes in and He offers something different. He offers rest from the difficulties and from the labor that we go through. And He says, take my yoke upon you. And that's not an egg yoke, and we wouldn't put an egg yolk on our head. That's not the kind of yolk that He's talking about. He's talking about a piece of wood that you would put on a horse or an oxen, and that wood would be tied to a load. It's basically the straps on a backpack, right? And Jesus is saying, listen, you're struggling in life, and it's difficult, and you need rest. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. And then take my work that I'm going to give you, and do that work, and when you do that work, you're going to find rest for your souls. We'll be laboring and resting at the same time. And that's His problem. I mean, promise. He's going to change how our lives are going. And in Matthew 7:22, is a part of the story of two people that hear Jesus' words. And He says, you know, some people will hear my words and they won't do what I say. And some people will hear my words and they will do my say. And they're both kind of like a guy making a house. And the one's building his house on the sand, the other on the rock. And that person who's built it on the sand, it was easier to do. But the end result is going to be destruction and suffering. If you hear me and you trust me enough to put the things I say into practice, Jesus is saying to us, your house will be like a life built on a rock. And there won't be destruction. There'll be success. When I came here, all those 18 years ago, I guess, or 16 years ago, and I heard the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, how He wanted to be my Savior. It took a while for me to warm up to the Lord Jesus. It took me a while for me to really think about my life, and even before I decided to put my faith in Jesus, I called up someone from here And I said, you know, you won't see me anymore. And I stopped coming out. And it was a Wednesday night when you had prayer meeting. And that Wednesday night, I've been told that someone stood up and said, you know, we haven't seen Dan for a while. Let's pray for him. And as people were praying for me here, I went out for a walk and I thought about my life and how I had messed things up pretty good in my life. And I was trying to rebuild it. And this verse came to me. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And so on the corner of King and Bridgeport, I decided I would trust in Jesus. That I'd allow him to be my Savior and to save me from my sins. And my life changed. It really did. Before that time, you know, drinking and doing drugs were a big part of my life. But the appeal left me to do those. The appeal of those things left. The Holy Spirit was in me and was changing me from the inside out. And now, I'm doing things that I had never thought possible. My life has changed in so many ways. It's improved. I have more joy than I did. I have more peace than I did. And God is working in me, and He wants to work in you. He wants to give you a new life and to give you true joy. And let's go back to this slide here that we had seen earlier on. Problems caused by sin. That's us. Each one of us has fallen short. We've failed in God's sight. And there really isn't a solution to the judgment of God in this way. There's no way that we can earn salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can do to wipe out the sins that we've already committed. Even if I were to start today in trying to live righteously today and live perfectly, even if I was successful today, it wouldn't wipe out the sins I did yesterday. But the problem is I can't make it through a day. None of us can make it through a day without a sin. And so God provided a Savior for us. Someone who could save us from our sins. Someone who could redeem us. Someone who could give us the eternal life that we couldn't get on our own. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the main theme of the Bible. Is He your Savior today? The last point here, God wants to be with people. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to heaven. To seeing Jesus Christ face to face and being with Him forever. I'm looking forward to that. But you know what? He's looking forward to that too. He's looking forward to you coming and being with Him, and He wants you to come and be with Him. Are you saved? Will you be in heaven for eternity? Have you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have, there's so many things that prove that it's true, that these promises are real. And so if you've done it, you can have that assurance. And you can look forward to heaven. And if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, and He's not your Savior, and you don't see that these evidences in your life, He can still save you. It's not too late. And He wants to. He loves you. He loves all of us enough to send His Son to die for us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for bringing us here this morning. I pray for your work in our hearts, that you would give us a sense of security, that you would impart in our lives the joy and the peace of sins forgiven. Father, draw us closer to you, and I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know their sins forgiven, that today might be the day that they would have eternal life given to them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.